Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners.
Good afternoon.
I think the pub has some concerns and some opportunities to say well done to the bureaus. But the fact is the bureaus, these two bureaus, make up 20% of our overall city spending. And the pub was basically created by you to provide the year-round oversight and recommendations to the council and to the mayor. The board has spent 8 months working with the bureaus to review their five-year financial plans, rate forecasts, capital plans, operating budgets, decision plans, and also the CBO analysis of the requested budgets. Through this budget process, the pub encouraged both bureaus to be mindful in their requests and make strategic choices about their core mission needs, keeping the financial impact of customers as a priority. The pub believes the programs and staff that would be supported by the rate increases being considered today reflects those needs and choices and is supported and supportive of the funding included in the adopted budget documents. Both bureaus are facing unique challenges. The Water Bureau is undertaking two very large construction projects to increase the resiliency of their system. At the same time, there is uncertainty with regard to water quality and future regulatory requirements. The Bureau presented the corrosion control treatment pilot ordinance to the pub prior to the council action and worked with our staff to ensure that there was open communication and transparency with the pub regarding the cryptosporidium findings and the operational decisions. The pub supports and looks forward to this continued open dialogue as the Bureau addresses these regulatory challenges and progresses through these major construction projects. BES is in their second year of a major strategic planning effort and hopes to be in a position next budget season to use that plan to align budgeting decisions with program priorities and performance indicators. The Bureau's vision includes more than doubling capital output to address system capacity and aging infrastructures. They are working through a plan now to address capital project production. PUB strongly supports this work and is encouraged by the general direction of the Bureau. These foundational and process changes will be critical to the Bureau's long-term success, and the PUB will follow and watch these changes closely. While the board sees encouraging process changes and transparency issues in both bureaus, we remain concerned about the long-term cost projections for our Portland customers. Current rates of increase in the proposed budgets are 6.7 for the Water Bureau and 2.9 for BES for a combined rate increase of 4.9.
4.2.
4.19.
What did I say?
4.9.
Oh, sorry. We normally talk about monthly budget impacts for customers, but more than 87% of Portland customers pay their bill quarterly. So as of, April 1st, 12.69% of customers pay monthly, 22,554 according to the city's budgets. So that's at this current forecasted rates of increase in the next 5 years, Portland customers are facing almost a $385 quarterly bill in 2022, or essentially about $1,530 on an annual basis. And this does not include a potentially costly treatment facility for the Water Bureau. The pub remains concerned that the rate increases are above inflation and that would basically be about a 20% compounded increases over the 5 years. We look forward to continuing to work with the Bureau and with you, Mayor, and Commissioners to encourage utility operations and investments that ensure our safety, value, transparency, and financial stability of these systems for the customers. In closing, you created the Pub to provide a citizen oversight of the bureaus, and the Pub appreciates the opportunity to provide that feedback at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it very much. Thank you for your service as well.
Janice Thompson, Oregon Citizens Utility Board.
Thank you.
CUB was invited to be an outside independent oversight entity by the City Council back in 2014. This memo has some comments on the current most recently adopted budget and rates, as well as identifying some future topics. I'm not going to go through every bit in it, but I'll just kind of walk it through and highlight a few items. A due diligence topic up front that I want to reassure Commissioner Fish is not meant to imply that there should be any change in the current Bureau assignment or, the most recent current Bureau assignment. I know right now they're all in the hands of the mayor. Nevertheless, periodic shifts in Bureau assignments by the mayor do occur, and I just want to highlight if at some point in the future reassignment is considered, the value I have seen since 2014 of having one commissioner in charge for both bureaus. In looking back, it's kind of surprisingly rare how often that's occurred. As has been mentioned, there's a you've gone through the rate increases. I apologize. I have a little typo about the combined rate increases being 4.19, not 4.17. There, I want to highlight kind of at the very bottom of that page, the BS increase actually would have been a little higher yet, but for previous councils adopting two advocacy items that CUB brought before it, before the body, related to what we viewed as being inappropriate developer subsidies, particularly related to sewer system development charges. Once those changes are made, they have kind of an ongoing impact. And so, in other words, if those changes had not been made, the rate increase even this year would have been higher than otherwise. It's kind of nice when you can make a change that is a little kind of gift for ratepayers that keeps on giving, keeping those dollars in their pockets. Nevertheless, these combined rate, though I think many bureaus would view, or many utilities across the country would view as being pretty favorable, they do add up, as Alan's testimony illustrated in more detail. Two helpful trends I kind of highlighted at the top of page two, though, that I think merit attention. One is how BES, even in this environment where they're mapping out a game plan where they can even do more, they're looking like they can, on a long-term basis, project this 2.95% increase and possibly even nudge it down. The second thing I want to highlight is that the Water Bureau's requested annual rate forecast of 6.7% from here through 2021 is significantly lower than what had previously been thought. So that leveling off on the water side in terms of forecasts is indeed a positive trend. The rest of page two includes some budget process timing suggestions. In terms on page three, there's some discussion of why it is the requested budget from BS was slightly lower, primarily focusing on a shift of almost $1 million in general fund support for a tree planting contract that previously had, a shift to ratepayers of almost $1 million that had previously been paid out of the general fund. This, whenever CUB sees these kinds of adjustments, we always look particularly carefully. In this case, the use of general funds for this particular tree planting contract only began in 2014 during a time when then-Mayor Hales was particularly focused on rate mitigation steps. We get it that tree planting is definitely a valid BES function. So the shift we deemed as being appropriate. The rest of that page, some additional BES budget fine-tuning that was occurred. The top of page 4, I have a suggestion to BES related to the formatting of kind of their decision packages, kind of a nitty-gritty, but trying to look for opportunities for improvement. Future issues that are going to become before you from the BES side, biogas is a project that's getting underway, but there are some ancillary projects related to the feedstock options, and so that's something that CUB has been monitoring for quite some time and will continue to monitor. There's already been discussion of the Clean River Rewards.
Janice, can I just say, I think evidence of how successful the partnership has been with your organization is you raised some red flags about biogas early, and so we slowed down and we addressed them, and it was only when we got the green light from both of you that we moved forward, and we really appreciate the scrubbing that you did of that proposal.
So I won't repeat. There have been some previous discussion, a little bit more details here about evaluating the Clean River Rewards discount. Through a kind of complaint that phone call I got, we are also taking a look at, with the BES, of a kind of a fair, kind of a consumer fairness issue related to how the winter average sewer base charge is calculated for low volume customers. On page 5, I just want to highlight something called the rainfall derived inflow and infiltration effort. This included a pilot project that to ensure adequate participation, so the pilot would, you know, provide good results, did include BES paying in total for some private property work. CUB believes in pilot projects, and, you know, so gets that dynamic. But BES, or CUB will be urging BES to clarify the status of these pilots. And as my understanding is that they're about to wind down. You know, projects' timings can vary, though. But it's important to really delineate the end of that pilot, because at that point, any future work on private laterals needs significant oversight vetting regarding if and or how costs should be split between BES and any private landowner. So in other words, kind of okay during the pilot for BES to cover those costs. Once that pilot is done, then it needs to be looked at much more carefully. The best case scenario is that, and this is all driven, by the way, by DEQ requirements. So the best case scenario is what will continue to keep DEQ happy will be continued work on this lining of the sewer pipes in public right-of-ways. If that doesn't quite suffice, then I think taking a look at some point-of-sale requirements is an option, but again, that kind of approach also needs adequate oversight vetting. There's a few comments here about risk factors and updating some important studies. I'll let you read that. Turning to the very bottom of page 5 and the Water Bureau budget, I just have some comments there related to the need to recognize the Water Bureau and the folks that they work with as being kind of the water quality experts for the city. And so that in that regard, it was a little troubling to see that the Bureau's top priority staffing request that had a water quality element was not honored. So I just think that needs kind of important attention from the future. In terms of Water Bureau future issues. New hydro power contracts are on their way, and quite frankly, it will be less lucrative for the city. But that is totally related to kind of market changes. Portland General Electric is totally it's totally understandable that Portland General Electric needed to change it, the deal that they had with the city. And the deal with the city was really, really good, and is just under current market realities is not going to be duplicated. But that's an interesting topic for us at CUB, because I have colleagues with the energy expertise to kind of take a look at this. Corrosion control treatment is obviously going to be a risk factor, as well as taking a look at all treatment options related to cryptosporidium down the line. And then a final comment on page 6-7, rather, is just highlighting that the Water Bureau is starting a major update of a supply system master plan. And as that moves forward, it could be another topic that circles back to the City Council.
I have a comment. I want to thank you for the thoroughness of this report. As somebody who is not completely up to date on all of the issues confronting the system, I found this exceptionally helpful. And so I want to thank you and the other folks who are working on your committee. Same with the CUB. I just think your work is fantastic, and it's not only important from an accountability perspective, but I think it's just great to have outside experts taking a look at these issues and helping us problem solve and coming up with good strategies. So it's, you know, I see it as a win-win, and I really appreciate the time and energy you've all put into this work. Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
Yeah, I also want to thank you for your advice, and it's very helpful from both aspects. Janice, I just had a question about consolidating the Kayenta billing system staff within the Water Bureau. What you're saying is they're currently in the Revenue Bureau and they'd be better in the Water Bureau.
Yes.
Have you thought about whether that should be done if we're going to be moving to a 3-1-1 system in the next 2 or 3 years? In other words, if we're going to consolidate all of the billing staff in 3-1-1, is it worth moving them now and then moving them again?
Yes.
Because?
Because it's something that should have been done about 3 years ago.
And explain to me the factors of that. Why?
Hmm?
Why?
The Water Bureau is paying for those Revenue Bureau staff people. And I just think it's much more judicious use of ratepayer funds. And it's been documented that it also would be a little cheaper if all those folks were within the Water Bureau.
Mm-hmm. And Commissioner, is there a reason why that hasn't been done?
Yes.
I figured there would be. That's why I asked the question.
There has been a strong disagreement from OMF to the Water Bureau's request that we do this. But under this mayor, there's been a thaw in those conversations. And I agree with Janice. This is a long overdue issue because I had 100 other issues on my plate that required my attention. It was not number one on my list, but we believe the case has been made that since we purchased this equipment and with ratepayer dollars, and since it is primarily serving us, that we have control of it. But it need not have any consequences to other partners that use it, because we would simply continue to contract with them. But I would just say politely, there have been philosophical disagreements over this issue, and I'm delighted with the approach that the new CAO has taken in our negotiations.
That's very tactful and tells me what I needed to know. Thank you.
Mike, was that tactful enough?
It was excellent, sir.
Thank you. So thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Very good. Susan, do we have public testimony today?
We have four testifiers.
Very good.
First three, Mimi Gurman, Dee White, and Carol Cushman.
Come on up.
I'm going to take more than, how many minutes do I get, two or three?
Three, but listen, if you need a minute more, that's fine.
All right, thank you.
All right, there's only four people.
I'm going to jump around, so I'll hit the high points first.
Sure.
The Portland Water Bureau should be renamed.
Could
the Portland.
Could you put your name in the record?
Oh, sorry. D. White. The Portland Water Bureau should be renamed the Portland Engineering and Construction Corporation, Nick Fish, CEO. The mission statement should be build, build, build. Money is life, not water. Screw the community. Over the course of 20 years, the mission and purpose of the Water Bureau has changed from being a water provider with public health as its top priority to construction and engineering outfit, profiting from destroying our sustainable water system and profiting while our children are being poisoned with lead and toxic chemical-laced water from corroded pipes, stagnant corrosive water, and radioactive gas. This policy, this arrogant behavior, this deceptive and dishonest.
Excuse me, I'm going to have to ask you, please, as I said right up front, it's okay to be critical of the policy, but please do not question the integrity of people. Let's all just
assume said
that.
Where have I said anything about people?
This dishonesty and lack of transparency is questioning somebody's integrity.
It's true.
Well, listen.
I'm not criticizing anyone.
Let's stick to the policy. Thank you.
The policy? Well, okay. This dysfunctional and undemocratic form of government that we are stuck with have our hands tied. We've been cynically instructed by the city attorneys that the only way to address change and accountability at City Hall is at the ballot box. Well, we, Ted Wheeler, we turned the ballot box and elected you. You campaigned on reshaping the city. You pledged to run your office with honesty, integrity, and fiscal restraint, and we elected you to do just that. I respectfully demand that you retain the Water Bureau in the mayor's office once this mind-numbing public utility budget is approved. With your expertise and experience in overseeing budgets and spending, we ask that you and your team scrutinize every project, every contract, every revenue bond from the Water Bureau. I'm going to skip over. The most terrifying thing about this budget is the debt load. We're currently $650 million in debt. Over the next 5 years, $1.2 billion is requested in revenue bonds. The five-year CIP asks for an additional $519 million. What is the other $550 million going to? A filtration plant. Y'all aren't going to say that. Do you really think that ratepayers are going to be able to withstand the rate increases that will occur to pay off this debt? $1.2 billion more than, on top of the $650. Wholesale revenue and demand is rapidly declining and will be reduced by at least 50% over the next 8 years. How could anyone look at this outstanding debt schedule and not believe that our water system is heading toward privatization? The second thing, the most important thing you can do right now is reallocate the $15 million for the new treatment facility and redirect it to a unidirectional flushing program for the entire city. Our pipes are dangerously corroded, and they need to be cleaned before more chemicals are dumped into our water to try and fix this lead problem, which y'all also stymie. I mean, there's no – y'all are under orders from the EPA and the OHA to immediately reduce the lead using existing infrastructure, meaning pipes. And here you cancel the position for unit for flushing. It's ridiculous. There's no safe level of lead. Lead accumulates. Old stagnant water is also a major contributor to the lead and corrosion problem. Portland Water Bureau has been mitigating this problem for 2 years under commands, orders from the EPA and the OHA. Both tanks at Powell Butte are empty right now and have been for months, if not years, and will most likely never be used again. We've got too much storage, and y'all knew it, and the demand has been going down. Powell Butte will never, one of them is completely flawed. The other one is empty because it needs a new roof. That, so they're both empty. So, and we're still having an aging water problem. We don't need another pipe running underneath the Willamette. Redundancy is built into the system already throughout the West Side from sources of water on the West Side. Last year, the Water Bureau helped pay for a truck-mounted portable pump station that can redirect water in Washington County for emergencies. Why not invest in some of these portable pump stations on both sides of the river rather than dependent on redundancy under a river when we got it already out there in place. We don't need another pipe. We have mothballed infrastructure barely 4 years old. We have dangerous water quality products, problems with lead, radon, toxic chemicals. We have thousands of hours in deferred maintenance, mainly cleaning the corroded pipes. Wholesale revenues and demand are permanently declining, and the biggest travesty in Portland history is going on up at Washington Park. The Water Bureau, in my opinion, and the opinion of many people, is a festering sore in this community. It seems the more money we pay for the essential service of water, the worse our public health problems get. The Portland Water Bureau has failed its mission of being responsible stewards of the public's water infrastructure, fiscal, and natural resources. They're not putting the public health first, and is fiscally irresponsible with ratepayer money. Ongoing upper management decisions are resulting in critical public health issues and unsafe drinking water.
Excellent. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Mimi German, and on my way, before I came over here today, I farm, and I brought everybody some food from my farm, and I promise you that unless there's lead in it, it's all good. And I have radishes and turnips for you from my farm. And while I was pulling these today, what we do with our food is we give it away. We don't have a nonprofit. I'm part of a nonprofit that I started, which is called No Nukes Northwest, which actually has to do partly with why I'm here regarding the radon. But I need to know that our water is safe for these people that I bring this food to. There's no chemicals on it from me. And I bring this multiple times a week to Dawson Park. There's a community that hangs out in the park, and they all, for the most part, have spaces with kitchens, and so I bring food for them to use, you know? It's important to me to know that our pipes, knowing that they need to get flushed, do get flushed to deal with this lead issue. I've learned a lot, actually, from Dee recently, and paid attention a lot to what's been going on with our reservoirs in the past. And what I do know is that we have a big problem. So I just took some notes today, and my first thing is to agree with Dee that we need to, the EPA has demanded that we flush the unidirectional pipes to get rid of lead. Let's do it. Why would we say yes to giving more money to the Water Bureau if they haven't done the work that they've been tasked to do? Radon creates lung cancer. How many people who work at the reservoirs with the caps on them, and again, I'm new to all this, are in the long run harming themselves due to the great amounts of radon? Can't get rid of it once it's in you. And it's a huge killer. It's one of the, it might even be at this point the number one rate for lung cancer over cigarettes. And I'm not sure if it has switched with cigarettes or not yet, but it's a big deal. There's no reason that knowing that our area in the Northwest is high anyway for radon, just naturally, you know, that we would cap something and create more of it with improper ventilation. So I'm saying look at the ventilation system and deal with the radon. I live in St. John's. There's a whole team in St. John's. I forget what they're called. It's right on the corner across from the McMinimans. And what they do is radon testing. I don't think it's fair, Commissioner, to say that water is only one-third of the bill. For those of us who pay water bills, the whole thing is the water bill. Sewer is water. Toilets are water. You know, it's all water. We can't really pick things apart like that because it's convenient. So I just want to go, cryptosporidium tests. I looked those up last year and found out that the testing for cryptosporidium that we use has a high false positive. And I don't know why we're using that. Why? I would think that everybody would want to save money by finding out if that is in fact true. And if you Google that particular test, then I don't know the name right now, but if you look that up, you'll see that it has a high false positive rate. So why are we using that to create billions or many millions of more dollars to do things that we might not need to do because our water is already safe? Just saying, something to look at. And I think, and I appreciate this gap so I can just cruise through here, radon talked about, Yeah, environmental services. Take care of the environment. Get rid of the lead, get rid of the radon, and then come back with those reports that this was done and represent what you've done and then ask for the raise. That's my testimony.
Thank you. Thank Appreciate you. It. Good afternoon.
Carol, if you come to one more hearing this week, you're going to get a bonus.
I don't think there is one more hearing, so and I'm leaving town tomorrow. Sorry, this is my last time here. I'm Carol Cushman, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League supported creation of the Portland Utility Board, the PUB, and as proposed by the Blue Ribbon Commission and adopted by City Council, a League representative regularly attends their meetings. In addition, the League supported the City's designation of CUB as an independent advocate for residential ratepayers served by BES and the Water Bureau and value highly its continued involvement in the process. Portland has been a leader in protecting and enhancing our environment and promoting innovation by piloting new approaches to functions such as watershed protection and stormwater management by the City's utility bureaus. It is important that we continue to build on past successes with the understanding that there are costs involved that will affect our rates and may end up raising them a few cents here and there. The information and options presented to the PUB should be improved by giving the utility bureaus the opportunity to share their rationale for specific items the CBO did not include in its recommended budget. As an example, the Water Bureau's top priority request was an additional staff person in unidirectional flushing, which I'm surprised everybody else is talking about it today. I just picked it as an example because it is a water quality issue. The CBO recommended delaying on the request. We think the process would have been improved if the PUB had given the Water Bureau the opportunity to explain its disagreement with the CBO recommendation. This would have provided the PUB with a more complete understanding of the budget request before making its recommendations to Council. Finally, it's vital that maintenance of our aging utility systems continues. Rates may go up due to the cost of repair and replacement, but in the long run, it may be less expensive than addressing future failures. Thank you. And I'm not saying there are failures coming. I'm just saying realize that's part of the rates.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. And this is really comical for me because I'm not an environmentalist. So I don't normally get involved in these issues, except the time that we came and we begged you not to cover the reservoirs. We begged you to fight it in court as long as you could fight it and spend the money, because we knew that down the line it was going to be hundreds of millions of dollars that was going to be wasted. Wasted. Because we're going to end up with crap water. We're going to end up with Flint water. That's what you're going to give us down the line, and there's nobody here to protest it. I'm not an expert in this area. Why am I here yelling at you when you should have environmentalists here yelling at you, and you should have the League of Women Voters yelling at you, not for the repairs that you have to make, not for the water that you have to inspect. It's the money you wasted. Do you know what the EPA is now? It's a country club under Trump. Do you think they're going to order you to do anything in the environment? No. You could have skated free, and New York will. And we asked you to get a waiver. We begged you to get a waiver. And you said, drop dead. That's what you told us, drop dead.
That was rude, Nick.
So you sit there, you millionaires, and you spend money like it's water. Isn't that a nice picture, Commissioner Fish? Are you a millionaire? You're the only one that I don't know about. Know about Chloe. Congratulations. But we don't know about you. But you three, we know. And when the people of this city realize what you've done today, you better hold your next meeting in Reservoir 6 at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because if you want to hide the damn thing, do it right. Don't do it in a Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock when people have to take off from work to come and tell you the rates are too high. On my Social Security, we got zip because inflation is almost zip. But you want 6%, but it's only 4% because sewer and water is different. You turn the tap on there, Commissioner. You better have some sewerage. You could use some sewerage up there.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Mayor, if I
could. Commissioner, excuse me,
you're out of order.
Excuse me.
Mr. Walsh, this is a disruption. Please sit down. Commissioner Fish?
Mayor, I think earlier you made the point that the utilities need to continue to improve their communication skills and making sure the public has timely and accurate information. And that's my principal takeaway from this hearing is that we still have more work to do. I want to acknowledge, since they won't be here next week, Mayor and colleagues, the professionals who work for the utilities. Would you all please stand for a second if you work for the utilities or support the utilities? These folks won't be here next week, but I want to thank them for their service. Thank you all. And I think Dan has some. Who do you want to bring up?
Water.
Mike, you want to come forward? Celia.
So, yeah, I guess I wanted to find out more about this. And I know we had a briefing once about the lead in our water system, but were we ordered by DEQ to flush our system unidirectionally?
No.
We're not.
If we had been ordered to do so, we would be doing it. We generally follow EPA's direction.
So
is it a
good idea to do it? Did you actually... You asked for a position to do this?
We did. One position.
So if we don't get the position, does that mean we're not doing it?
No, we are doing it, but we're doing it with a crew and a half instead of two crews. Flushing does all kinds of things, but it doesn't do everything that was asserted here. Yes, it can help a little bit with lead because of particulate matter, but it doesn't help a lot. Ultimately, the problem with lead is lead pipes. That's it. And most of that problem, the vast majority of that problem, can be eliminated the way that we tell people to do. Run your tap. You run your tap for 30 seconds, you're not going to have a lead problem. There are all kinds of choices made in the budget process. Personally, I wished we'd have gotten that position. I may take one from somebody and create it anyway.
Mike, we're going to continue to CBO said to delay the funding for that. We're going to continue to advocate with the mayor's office to get the funding. And I just want to be clear because people have a right to come up and exercise mm-hmm. their First Amendment rights, and they, I guess, technically have a right to constantly misstate basic facts about our system. And The noteworthy thing about this hearing and the hearings predating this is that other than our oversight bodies who have testified, Mayor, we've had no communication from anyone else in the public about this system or the proposed rates other than the people who have testified. And we've had a virtual torrent of misinformation, which we could spend all day trying to correct. But I understand that people feel strongly and they have a right to say whatever's on their mind. We have no lead problem in our water. Our water system from the Bull Run until it's connected to someone's home or business or school does not have lead in it. We do have aging infrastructure in this city that have lead in the solder, and the school board has, through the bond measure, is going to replace old pipes and faucets, which is the absolutely only documented way to reduce lead to zero. And we have, as the council has been briefed, going to make some changes to water chemistry to reduce corrosion, and we've laid that out for you. The program of flushing our pipes is good for a lot of reasons. We continue to believe that an additional investment in that is good for the system, but we didn't get it in this budget.
I'm confused because I thought you said it is going to occur. Is this going to occur with a crew and a half as opposed to two crews?
We do flush now. We flush based upon water quality concerns that arise in particular areas. It's something that Chris Warner and company monitor a lot. So we do flush now. We have a two-person crew that does flushing and another half a person. We want to make two full crews. We have 2,700 miles of
so
pipes
how long does
in the
it
city.
Take to, how long does it take to flush the system?
Honestly, I don't know.
70 years. It's in the budget. Now.
Commissioner, if this is an issue that you care deeply about, we'll arrange for a briefing to your office on flushing, and we welcome your feedback.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the question. It was raised in testimony, and mm-hmm. Ms. White, I've known for many years. Don't always agree with her, but I respect her. Doggedness on water bill budget.
Thank you, Dan. That's very helpful.
I have a question. I have just one more question, and I appreciate it. I'm sorry that we have to get up here and be yelled at. I think it's okay for people to disagree with us. That people should come up here and disagree with us, and they should hold us accountable. I just don't understand why people feel the need to come up and yell. And be personal about it. It's not necessary for people to do that if they want us to hear. And I'm disappointed that people ask questions that I thought were good questions, and when they were done yelling, they got up and left before you have the opportunity to answer the question. So I'll ask the question again because I thought it was a good question. What of this cryptosporidium issue? It's my understanding that it is not something that we want to do. This additional treatment plant, but there was some agreement we made with the Oregon Health.
Mayor, can I
clarify this for me?
Mayor, yes. This is an issue that is an unfolding regulatory matter. This is a rate hearing. We'd like to have a separate proceeding on that.
Okay, good. I'd like to do that because I'd like to know the facts on this because there's a lot of discussion about it. There's a lot of people out in the community who are certainly asking questions about it, and I'd like to be fully informed.
We'll give it to you, but let's do that. I just want to gently comment about my friend Dan Saltzman's comment about Dee White's doggedness. Since she has characterized the 20-year history of the Water Bureau as one characterized by arrogance, dishonesty, and lack of transparency. So that covers Dan's tenure and my tenure and Randy Leonard's tenure. I actually disagree fundamentally with it, and I don't view this as dogged advocacy. I think it's a deliberate campaign of misinformation and defamation. And there is, with the exception of the proper spelling of her name in the statement, this is replete with false and misleading information. And I don't think we should enable it. She has a right to testify, and we have a right to say it's utter nonsense. But I thank you.
Any further comments or questions? That being said, both 520 and item 521, these are non-emergency first reading ordinances. I pass 520 and 521 to second reading. Thank you. We are adjourned.
Thank you. Dee, let's take it up.